Hi, welcome to Romance Happy Hour. I'm Dylan Crush.
And I'm Dawn Ludeke.
We're bringing you your favorite romance authors.
You'll get to hear them read from their books and answer your questions.
Now let's get on with the show.
We are live. Dawn here with Romance Happy Hour. I'm here with Dylan Crush. Hi, Dylan. How are you?
Super swell. How are you?
Long time no see. It's been like, I think, 3 weeks. Instead of
I know.
Two.
You don't talk to me in between shows anymore.
I don't talk to anybody. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. I don't talk to anybody. I barely talk to my own family. Just because life is crazy busy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy busy. But I did just find time to get 3 new chicks to start my chickens in my backyard.
Oh, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
We're not hot chicks.
Romance chicks together. So I wasn't sure.
Nope.
They're
Pollocks or something. They're a mix right now. And then
not
tomorrow
I would
we're going to get
there anyways, but
tomorrow we're going to get 3 more Americanas. So they're the ones that give eggs. That's all we care about.
Fun.
So.
Do they freeze to death? I mean,
I'm not sure yet.
You have a chicken coop, but like, don't you have to have it heated or something so that the poor little chickens don't become like frozen chicken tenders?
Yeah, for sure. Right now they're inside. And I think my husband said, let's turn your little studio room into the chicken room.
Oh, gosh.
Until we can move them to the garage because it's still kind of cold here. It's like getting to be spring, but by that it means like 39, 40 degrees instead of 80, which is where I'm wanting to be right now.
Isn't there going to be chicken poop all over your studio?
No, they're in little buckets, brooders, as they call them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we keep them in little brooders and then kind of like gradually bring them outside to the coop.
Oh, because they're little tiny babies. Yes.
Yeah, they're tiny babies. They're the ones go.
Got it. Okay. Obviously, I do not have much experience in the, what would you call that, animal husbandry of chickens.
Yeah, chicken realm. So that's what I've been up to. It took me a good couple weeks to convince my husband, but I finally got it done.
So Dawn's been sitting on eggs and hatching chickens.
I have. Yes. I have been hatching some chickens. So what have you been doing?
Oh gosh, super exciting stuff. I've been going through chemo.
Oh yeah.
Round 5 today and I have new hair.
How are you feeling?
This is my Meg hair. It reminds me of Meg Ryan in the 80s and 90s rom-com movies.
How are you feeling with that though?
Everything's going really well. Yeah. Okay. I am, according to my oncologist, I'm a rock star cancer patient. I don't know if that's something to be super proud of, but.
Of course it is.
So it's, you know, fingers crossed. It's going really well so far. So, nice. And I've been writing. My alter ego has a book that comes out tomorrow. So that's exciting in the Mustang Mountain Riders. So you can look for that. It's March's Ride with Priest. So I've been writing. I have slowed down. Book boxes are on hold right now. But the t-shirts, we're still doing Romance Happy Hour or the Romance Lovers t-shirt club. So yeah, I'm keeping busy.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm still getting some writing done and stuff as I feel up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. A lot more than me. So.
Well, I don't know. We might be close now because I've slowed down and you keep telling me that you're speeding up. But
slowing down for Dylan. Yeah. Okay.
It's like still warp speed for almost everybody else.
I don't know. The next book that I have up for pre-order after the one that comes out tomorrow isn't until May, you guys.
That's in one area. Then let's talk about all the little side hustles you got going on and everything else. Like slowing down for you is like going back to the like still a superwoman speed for most.
I don't know about that.
Cameron and I are clearly on the same page because I was literally just going to say that exact same thing.
I have had to slow down. So, yep.
But that's good. Sometimes you just have to.
Yep.
Sometimes you just have to, and it's good. And enjoy every minute of it, and just like
I sat on my couch and watched a movie this afternoon when I came home.
Oh my God.
I know.
What was it? What movie?
I watched Damsel on Netflix. It's with, I always get her name mixed up. Millie Bobby Brown. What's her name? Enola Holmes. She was 11 in Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Millie Bobby Brown? I don't know. Somebody will know. And she was it's called Damsel. It's, yeah, there's a dragon. It was okay.
I'm going to have to look it up because tomorrow I am not working, Dylan. I'm actually taking the day off and I have to show a house at 2.
Okay.
But other than that, I will be not working. And so I'm like.
Tomorrow, I'm super excited to watch the new Netflix movie that's all about St. Patrick's Day. What is it? Something Irish.
Something Irish is the title, or you're saying?
No, I'll look it up.
What is the Irish title?
I'll put it in the chat. Yeah, it's a movie. It's looks like a new Irish rom-com that comes out tomorrow. Yeah. So
I got a question, I guess, like that actually just popped this question that has nothing to do with books, romance, or anything else, except for St. Patrick's Day. But like, do you guys have traditions for St. Patrick's Day? What do you guys do? Do you have food that you eat? Do you have traditions for it?
We normally do eat food on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I mean, special Irish food. That's what I mean.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the crock pot. But this year, St. Patrick's Day is on Sunday, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at a writer's retreat, so we have to wait with the corned beef when I get back. So
fun.
Okay. Lucky. Yeah.
I'm 7% Irish, so yes, we celebrate it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't.
Yeah. I'm definitely Irish. I don't know what percentage. My son looks like a leprechaun, so I'm pretty sure it's pretty high. And I have, in the past, when he was a toddler, dressed him up as a leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day. I will admit that. But yeah, I do corned beef, and then, you know, pinch my kids if they don't show green right away, just so I can, like, you know, be that parent that's picking on my kids a little bit, but it's okay because it's St. Patrick's Day. And that's how I celebrate.
Well, I'm 75% Irish, and
and
I did the whole corned beef and cabbage in the crock pot, and nobody ate it but me. So I gave up on that, but we always wear green and do something special. And years past, I have a friend here who always, her family always marches in the big, huge St. Patrick's Day parade in St. Paul. And so we joined them one year and marched in the parade.
Oh, fun. That's fun.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be going to the parade this year.
No.
No. But we do always wear green and try to do something fun and special. So.
Yeah. Fun fact, my husband's mom's last name is Kelly. So she's definitely Irish, you know, but also, she is related to the McCalls from the McCoys from the Hatfield and McCoys. And I know you did like a series, Dylan, that was like based off of that. So I was like, that's fun. So,
well, inspired by, my
inspired
whiskey wine
series by,
has two feuding families that co-own a whiskey distillery together that, inspired by the Hatfield and McCoys. Yes. But man, they have finally, like, that feud is over. They made up. They've had a reunion with all of them. I did watch a lot of stuff on their feud because it's always fascinated me.
Did you watch documentaries on it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was there actually like a Romeo and Juliet situation that ended the feud?
I don't remember. Are you kidding me, Dawn? I can't remember yesterday. I don't remember.
Okay. Somebody let us know. If you know, if you're a viewer and you know, like, let us know. If the Hatfields and McCoys fixed their problems because of a Romeo and Juliet situation, I would love for that to be true and like in actual history.
I incorporate some of that into my series. So book four is coming out this fall. And so, there are 5 books planned for the series. And by book 5, you'll know exactly what the whole feud was all about. Cause right now, nobody can remember how it started. Yeah. So
it's probably land.
We'll see.
Land or love. is my guess. All right. So we digress though. So
we do. I know. Let's talk to these ladies.
Yes. So we are joined today by Cameron Clare and CJ Corbin. CJ, you didn't put your last name on there. I just caught that.
That's all right. Just okay. I'm like Cher. You know, I just got the first
name. Love it.
Awesome. So you guys know what we are doing, what we're working on. Ladies, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're working on, what you're giving away, anything you want our viewers to know about you.
I just became a full-time writer in August.
Yay! So congratulations.
Up until that point, I worked like a dog 60 hours a week and wrote. Now I just write, and I'm planning. I'm going to take a message from you all. I'm going to put 5 books out this year.
Ooh, great.
So nice. Book number 2 is coming out on April 9th, and it is my first paranormal.
Ooh.
So it's really, I mean, when I started writing the paranormal, it was the greatest experience I ever had. I just slipped right into it. It was like I found my home. I write contemporary small town up until this point. It's like Virgin River, but with 4 chili peppers. So it's a very open door and spicy. I had an interesting thing happen yesterday. In fact, my dad, who lives with me, fell. And so I had to call the fire department to get them to come out and do a lift assist. Mm-hmm. And the guys know that I am a romance author. They all know, all the firemen know me because my dad falls a lot, but he's okay. So yesterday, the captain of the fire department, he said, we'd like to buy one of your books.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I'll give you one. You know, you don't, but they're very spicy. I'm not quite sure you want to read this. Oh, no, we want to read it. So I gave him one of the books, the Destiny series, and it is the one that is about a female fire captain and an ex-priest. And okay. So now I will never be able to look these men in the eye ever again, because it is, like I said, 4 chili peppers. So. But it's fun. I love to write. Yeah. And this was something that I've always wanted to do it full time. It took me about 6 months to get into it. But now I have the entire year planned out, all the releases, what the books I'm going to be writing. So it's very exciting.
So my next question, or I guess the first question I have for you would be, are you going to write a firefighter romance just for this, what is it, a precinct, or is it a station, just for the station, and then you can just give it to them, like, this is you, and then they all think it's them.
And, you know, it's funny, because I commented the previous time on one of the guys, he had a full arm of tattoos, and I said, I didn't think you guys were allowed to do tattoos. And he says, oh, no, we can do them now. And I said, but you don't have to wear long sleeves or anything. No, we can show the tattoos. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, yeah, I would love to be able to do that. But again, I write really spicy. So we don't want them to know what I know.
Well, and you might be surprised, because I have found that oftentimes the men who buy my books take them home and give them to their wives and girlfriends, uh-huh, because that's how they get their enjoyment out of them, is when their Cameron's in agreement, is when their wives and girlfriends read the books. That's how, you know, that's how they get the most enjoyment out of them.
She's not wrong.
No, she's not. My nephew, who had never looked at one of my books. I was just down in Texas visiting my sister, and my nephew ran across one of my books that was sitting on the table, and he opened it up. He looked at it, took a picture of the page, and sent it to me. And he says, "I didn't know what all you were writing. This is really." And I said, "What you need to do is encourage your wife to read it. You will benefit." So, but yeah.
Yep. So, you're not wrong.
So no. Now the family knows that I write smut. So,
you know what? Own it.
Yeah.
I do. It takes a while. It takes a little while. At least it did me to get, you know, comfortable with, oh my God, you know, what if people that I'm related to read this, or, you know, like my uncle, or, you know, I mean, like my sister, I was fine with, but my mom was handing out my books to everybody in her neighborhood. And I just was, you know, a little uncomfortable, but now it's, yeah,
you get used to it. I do own it.
And I own it.
After the text from my nephew, I was a little embarrassed, I had to say, you know, I was blushing a little bit. And then I thought, no, this is what you write. And I owned it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was when my grandpa told me he was my biggest fan because he's read all of my books and he's 89. And I'm just like, I love you, Grandpa. Thank you for being my best fan.
Well, and also, I mean, I think a lot of men also read romance novels because it gives them some insight into what women actually might want. Because they think they might know, or they think they might be doing things, you know, right way, and might pick up a couple of tips.
I think we should take away the word might in the question, in the things you just said, because they think they know.
Well,
they think they're doing the right thing. But some, it's not always.
Some more than others.
Yeah, some more than others for sure.
Yep. But all right, we should talk to Cameron.
What about you, Cameron? Yes. Tell us a little bit about you and what you're writing, giving away.
So I write contemporary romance, mostly insta-love. I will have my first PNR coming out this summer. I'm going to start with Shifters. But I actually started writing PNR even though I haven't published any of it yet. So my paranormal, I'm actually going back to like home. So this summer. And a lot of my stuff has military in it. I try to weave military, especially lately, all my stuff has military in it. So that's what I write.
So Cameron, you're retired from the military?
Oh no. No, I'm separated. I'm a disabled veteran from the Air Force. I'm third generation Air Force.
I was gonna say maybe that's why you're picking it up. Like my husband and I, like I started writing military right after I separated, and that's when it kicked up. So it's like that subconscious, like I'm glad I'm a civilian, but I also am who I am, kind of battle in your brain coming forward that you're writing.
Well, I think that initially I actually avoided it because I didn't want to romanticize it, considering that I actually know what it's like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I actually can write it, and while I am romanticizing some of it, I'm
know what you're saying.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Like yes. A lot of the stuff that I've put out recently, I'll talk about deploying and stuff like that. So there are things in there that are very accurate that the average reader won't have any idea. They'll just think I made up this amazing world. And it's like, no, it really looks like that over there.
Yeah.
Really like that over there. So,
No, I get you. Yep. I've been there.
Yeah. And my giveaway is... I think it's a gift card. Did I say it was a gift card? I think it's a gift card to my store. Yeah.
Yeah.
So any ebook or paperback or whatever they want, the ebook, the gift card will work on everything there.
Awesome.
And I have a question for Cameron. I want to know, what is that amazing tree behind you?
Oh, the tree.
So, if you remember, part of my InstaLove university stuff was branding. And so I have been just taking it the next level, which is why I was showing this earlier, right? I was showing all my little flamingo duckies. So yeah, my that's just a pink tree that is an ombre tree. So it's actually lighter pink on top. And then I just put little black balls in it. I don't think you can tell via that, but there's a K and a C on there.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
So it's part of my office.
So it's your year-round tree. Do you switch out decorations seasonally?
On that one, I just bought it. So I bought it this Christmas. And I don't think this one will because it's literally just a brand tree. So I will add to it as I get more flamingos and stuff.
I actually like what you just said. You said brand tree. You should sell that in your shop, like brand tree, like in like that author's like, you can provide them a brand tree and then you can make it a thing. Every author has a brand tree. I have a brand tree. It's got like my initials, DL, my colors. That'd be way cool. That's just a thought.
A lot of work to me.
Yeah, it does.
The shipping disaster. I'm like, oh.
And that's coming from Dylan, who does a lot of work.
That's like a lot of work to me. But good idea, Dawn. Add that to your list of projects to take on.
Yeah, I don't have a list of projects that I can take on. So my list of projects is writing books. And that's where I'm at right now. All right. But speaking of that, like we need to get to CJ offer to be our first author of the night. We're going to pop you up here, CJ. Go ahead and set anything up that you need to set up. And
Okay. This is from the book that will be coming out on April 9th. It's the first chapter of Love is a Spell. And Love is a Spell is the prequel to the Chronicles series that I'm writing. And I'll just go right into it. And this is the first chapter, and I'm only reading the first chapter, and I will read as quickly as I can. So, we have a visitor, I said to my cat as my fingers ran over her sleek black fur. The little bell on the front door of my bookshop rang a second later, and I turned to see in the doorway a handsome-looking dark-haired man in a raincoat carrying a drenched umbrella. He looked at me with a startled expression. "Are you still open?" I smiled at his very proper English accent. "We usually close at 6. I glanced at the clock on the wall behind me. "About 15 minutes. But I don't mind staying if you'd like to browse." His hand shook as he pulled out a small piece of paper from his coat pocket. The rain had smeared the ink, making it nearly unreadable. "I'm looking for," he paused as he tried to make out the writing. "I think the name is Rana." "I'm Rana." At this, Paquette meowed loudly. She weaved around my arm. "Hush, everything is okay," I said. Paquette's golden eyes looked at the stranger while her tail wrapped around herself. Almost imperceptible, the end of her tail tapped against my arm. "How can I help you?" I asked. He stumbled as he approached me and said, "I'm sorry, you don't look like anything I expected." My eyebrows rose and I cracked a smile. It wasn't the first time I had heard the comment. "And what did you expect?" "Well, someone older, perhaps," he stammered. "I mean, you're a witch." "You say witch like it was a bad thing." "No, I didn't mean that. You're quite lovely. Your hair color surprised me. I was expecting a redhead." I smiled again. "I see. You might be looking for my aunt. Her name is Blaze. She's redheaded." "No, I'm definitely searching for you." His voice was so raspy, I could barely understand him. Only the counter separated us. We were less than 30 inches apart, and I could feel it all around him. Magicé. It was powerful, and it wasn't his. Paquette backed up further into the crook of my arm and let out a loud, ferocious hiss. The sound made him step back. "Your cat doesn't like me." I ran my hand over her head again. "She doesn't know you. and is often hesitant around strangers. I bent over and murmured into her fur, "Relax it." I felt her loosen in my arms immediately. The customer gave me an odd look. "You told your cat to relax." "In Latin." "Of course," I smiled. "That's what she understands." Okay. He looked like he was ready to bolt. "I need assistance from you." "Yes, I think you do. I can feel the magic surrounding you, and it's powerful, which I'm sure isn't pleasant for you." "It's a spell," he said, "a love spell, and I'd like your help removing it." My eyebrows furrowed as I came around the corner to stand next to him. I lifted my hands only inches from his face and held them there with my fingers splayed out. "It's a strong hex, but it doesn't seem to have much effect on you. I don't feel any love emanating from you. If it had captured you, I would be able to sense it." "That's the problem. I'm fighting it, and it's making me sick. I have no intention of falling in love with the witch who cursed me with this spell. I've been searching for weeks to find someone to remove the spell before it kills me. An acquaintance of mine who knows of you recommended you. I can't eat or drink without being violently ill. I can't even think straight." I lowered my hands and peered closely at his handsome face. Behind his attractive appearance, fatigue was evident in his eyes. I hadn't noticed the hollowing of his cheeks and how his clothes appeared to be a bit baggy. "Well, I'm sorry, I don't know your name." "I'm Seth, just Seth. Can you help me?" His voice cracked with frustration. "May I touch you? It will only be for a moment." Paquette immediately jumped down from the counter and placed herself between us. "Oh, my brave little girl, you are my protector, are you not? No fears, my little one. I will interact with him only briefly." As I promised, it was only the quickest of touches. I wouldn't have been able to handle much more. The magic hay was formidable, and the surge that went through me almost knocked me back on my butt. "Oh," I said, surprised when I withdrew my fingers from his face. Besides the powerful magic hay, there was something else. I couldn't put my finger on it, but immediately felt drawn to him. His intense gray eyes held mine for a flickering moment, as if he was pulling me in. He struck me as probably quite masterful and strong when he was not under the influence of someone else's magic. The look sent fluttery sensations through me as if hundreds of butterflies were inside of me. Those were vibrations I was unaccustomed to feeling, and in an instant they were gone, and his expression again showed anguish and pain. Did that hurt you?" I asked. "Anytime a woman touches me, it's excruciating." It was evident he was holding his emotions inside. "I'm sorry, I won't do that again. Except when I remove the spell. I apologize, but I must touch you then." "You can completely remove it, not just counteract it?" he asked with hope in his voice. I nodded. "I'm fairly certain I can. It's a gift I have. It won't be easy, but I can do it in 2 sessions. I have to peel it away from you, you know, like an onion. It is essential we do it soon because, as you said, the more you fight the spell, the more it will destroy you." A look of relief covered his face. "Oh, thank you. The person who led me to you was right. He said you were the only one he knew who could do it." Paquette meowed at me. I looked down at her and smiled. "Yes, you are correct. Seth is in a lot of trouble, but I will help him." I reached over the counter and retrieved a small pad of paper next to the register and quickly wrote a list and handed it to him. "I'm assuming since you know I'm a witch, you are somewhat familiar with our rituals," I asked. Seth nodded. "Yes, I've investigated witches." "Good. These are the items I need you to get for me. You must personally purchase them. No one else, not an assistant, nobody but you, okay?" "Yes, I will purchase all the ingredients myself." My address is here. I pointed to the paper. I want you to come to my house tomorrow night at 7. Do not drive your own vehicle. You should take a taxi or a car service. May I ask why? Because basically what I will be removing is magic energy. It tends to be sticky and I don't want it to attach itself to your car, I said. He looked at me quizzically. What about the taxi? Won't it attach itself to another car? I shook my head. No, it's hard to explain, but the magic force will only work on you and your belongings, items you own. Seth nodded in understanding, but I doubted he fully grasps the situation. Lastly, I need to know the witch's name because I must do more research before tomorrow evening. As Seth said her name, a lightning bolt struck just outside the shop, followed by a loud clap of thunder. It almost drowned out his voice. Bellona, I repeated slowly. He only nodded his head. Okay, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow at 7. Don't forget anything on the list. He thanked me profusely as he backed out of my store. I stood where I was until the door shut and then picked up Paquette to hold her close. This may be more difficult than I thought, I whispered. That's it.
Awesome.
Ooh, I liked that a lot.
Sorry, Dylan, I muted you.
I just said, ooh, I liked that a lot.
Thank you.
We just missed a lot. That's all. I was like, oh, shit, she's talking. Okay. Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was great.
So what made you decide to switch into paranormal?
Because that's what I read, mainly okay. Paranormal. J.R. Ward is my, you know, my all-time favorite author, you know, and it's something that I wanted to try. So I wrote a short story, Love is a Spell. And when I was writing it, I had this Chronicles series in the back of my head and thought, oh, this would make the great opening to this series. It's witches, vampires, and fairies.
Yeah.
So, and it's the Chronicles is basically a book that prophesizes the queen coming. And I'm not going to say who she is. It's not Rana, but Rana will be very important in this whole thing. And it's dark against light, basically.
Very cool.
Yeah. I actually met J.R. Ward in an elevator in New York City, and we were at a conference and
RWA? Like,
yep, at RWA. Yeah. And I haven't read her books. I'm not like a big paranormal reader, but my sister was, and I was in the elevator and I'm like, just so you know, like my sister's a huge fan. And she was with her editor. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what's your sister's name? Because I have an arc of my upcoming release. And I told my editor that I was going to give this arc to the first fan that approaches me.
Oh.
And so she actually addressed the book to my sister. And then she did a Marco Polo with me to my sister. She was so sweet.
Oh.
I loved meeting her. She was amazing to meet. So, yeah.
I got to meet her, too, at the same conference.
Yeah. Yes. In New York City?
In New York City. I got a picture with her. She actually put her arm around me. So I consider us friends now.
Yeah, you're besties.
Oh, we are.
Yes.
Your paranormal stories have been blessed.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Awesome.
J.R. Ward's actually one of my favorites, too. I have all of her books behind me. Yeah.
Oh, I love so. Love that. Yeah,
she's a master.
Yeah.
All right. We do have a couple questions. Do we want to
go for questions? It. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if this is our friend Linda, the Canadian, who shows up as Facebook user. Linda, if you're still watching, you'll have to let us know if this is you or not.
Karen coming on a different Facebook platform. User.
It could be. It could be Karen. It could be Linda. I'm not sure who this is. There are a lot of questions, so it might be Karen. You're right. All right. The first one is, and we did kind of get an answer already from CJ, although I don't know if your paranormal stories are the same, but what is the spice level of your stories?
The spice level has increased as I have become more comfortable as a writer. So definitely they are sexy level between level 3 and level 4. So that's the industry verbiage that I use. It's open door. I use all the friendly words that body parts that we know of. And it is definitely open door. I write male, female, and just two to a couple right now. So that could change in the future. But my small town contemporary is sexy 3-4.
Okay. And how about you, Cameron?
I would say I'm a 3-4 as well. I don't know, you would know just as well as I would. So I would say that we're, yeah. I'm a 3-4. I have some books that have some kink in them. I write male, female. I have a male. I have a series of reverse harem. And then I have menage coming out soon.
Oh.
So I kind of write all of it. And like I said, some of my books have some BDSM in them, but it's still pretty light in the grand scheme of things.
All right. How about you, Dawn? Are we answering this question too?
I guess. I mean, I write 3. I think I'm a solid 3. I want to say 3 and 4, but I'm never a 4.
Well, I feel like the scale has shifted. Like the longer, you know, more recent books, I would say, like when I first started writing, like I would have said that my books were probably 3.5-4. But now when, you know, now it's like based on stuff that's coming out and how dark everything is, I'm like, yeah, my books are probably a solid 3-3.5. I mean, like Cameron under my other pin name, I do have, you know, I did some collaborations where one is a BDSM club, one is a reverse harem. And so, you know, those maybe edge up to like grays 4 maybe, but probably not. I mean, they're all open door. They all have, yeah. So I think it's changed.
I feel like dark has its own scale, right? Like as soon as they say it's dark, it's like, okay, well, you kind of have your own scale.
That's true. I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think contemporary small town, 3.5 maybe. But yeah, if I'm comparing it to all of romance, like what I consider my steamy contemporary small town across the board of all of romance is probably a 2. I mean, I don't know. Just depends on how people classify things. But yeah. All right, let's see. Let's do another one or two. Do this one. What is the most difficult part of writing a book for you?
I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't think I have an answer for that.
Okay. How about you, CJ?
For me, I'm a pantser, so yay. I don't do any plotting. In advance, the characters tell me the story. I think the most difficult point is when it's beginning. I mean, I know how the book is ending. I'm a firm believer in HEA. I just don't know how they're going to get there. And so the characters, I try. Oh my gosh, is that cute? Oh my God.
I know, right?
Oh. Little cocker spaniel, yes. So, but no, I have a hard. It's difficult. The book is always hard for me to write the first half. By the time I've hit 50%, I know everything that's going to happen the rest of the way. It may change a little bit as I go through it, but I always know. When I hit 50%, it's smooth sailing after that. It's just like bang, and I can just bang it out. But yeah, the beginning of the book is always hard.
Interesting.
So,
I'm like a middle person myself. The middle is the hardest for me. I think a lot of authors are like that. That's really cool that you're an the first part, the second part, you're just smooth sailing. That's it. Mm-hmm. You're done. You can bang it out. Okay. Wait, this sparked a question real quick. Cause we have had some amazing one day writers on this show. What is the most word count you've ever written in one single day?
10,000 words ish.
4,000. Okay. I'm a steady 1500 word a day girl.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's a good amount though. Yeah. 10,000 for me is like, I have a headache by the end of the day and I definitely need some wine.
Yeah. It's only happened once. Most of the other like big days for me have been 6 to 7, and that still is only a handful. Usually I bang out about 2,500 to 4,000 words if I'm in the midst of a story mm-hmm. a day.
What about you, Dylan? What's your top number?
I think I wrote 14,000 within a 24-hour period, but that was like an all-nighter kind of situation mm-hmm. that I will never do again, because then I'm useless for like 2 days. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's better. I think, CJ, your plan is better to consistently write, you know, like a little bit. And then, of course, you get yourself in these situations where you're up against a deadline or, mm-hmm. you know, you have an editor booked or, you know, whatever. And so I have a tendency to overestimate what I can do in short periods of time. And so.
Well, the difference between you and me is I procrastinate more than you overestimate. So my procrastination.
Either way, we both end up screwing ourselves over. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. which I think is also a common thing in the writer-verse.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but we need to hear from Cameron. We have lots more questions. But
we let's do. Okay.
Right. Real quick. This is, if anybody knows me and knows my publishing company, Snuggle Whore Press, this is the Snuggle Whore right here. Okay, anyways, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to read from Mine to Treasure, which is book 8 in the Veteran Canine series. It's also the last book of the Veteran Canine series, which is the series I've pretty much been releasing since October of last year. This one, it's the last book in the series, but it starts 10 years in the past because it kind of is the beginning of the series, and the premise of the series is that all of these guys and one female, the female is actually one that has land. So they all retire or exit the military as they're all Army canine handlers. And they all move to Spring City, Colorado, where they start the Veteran Canine Center, which its initial mission is to provide kenneling and training services to military members. So like when they deploy or when they go to school, they have some place that is safe for their animals that they know they can come home to. And then their mission kind of morphs to where they get into training PTSD service animals, which is also very relevant in the series. So this book, Mine to Treasure, like I said, is the last book. I was going to read from the first chapter, which was 10 years in the past, to kind of establish the, at least 4 of the main characters out of the 8 books. The scene that I like the best is in chapter 2. So I'm going to skip that. So to bring you up to speed real quick, in the first chapter, Saint is brand new. He just got out of training. He's 18 years old. And he just showed up to the Ranger Battalion in Georgia, and his sponsor, who is Sergeant Vail, invites him to a private club where he sees a female across the room, you know, starts asking about her. The two gentlemen, Vail and Kemp, say, hey, why don't you go ask her out? And he knows they're setting him up, but he's like, I'm going to do it. So he goes over and talks to her, asks her for a phone number. She says, I tell you what, the next time we see each other, if you still want my phone number, ask me. And he's like, okay. And so that's how that ends the first chapter. So this is the beginning of the second chapter that I'm going to read from. Okay. The next morning, Guar and I are in the office early. Sergeant First Class Baron Thoreau is out for the next 2 weeks and put me in charge in his absence. Even though I only outrank Vail and Kemp by a couple weeks' time in grade, I think I'd be in charge no matter what. I'm way more mature than either one of those jackholes who I will make pay today for the shenanigans they pulled last night. Sending the new guy over to hit on me. They think they're funny. They're going to find out today that I am not amused. Okay, that's not technically true. The new guy, while young and cocksure, is very attractive and in any other situation, exactly the kind of man I would have had welcomed hitting on me. His interest gave me a small ego boost, not that I would ever admit that to any of them. As one of the only few females in my MOS, I cannot and will not be reduced to my sex in the eyes of my peers or subordinates. Hell no. My vibrator and I have this conversation regularly. I'd rather be celibate than disrespected. But a different time, a different place, and Saint is exactly the kind of guy I would take home and ride into the morning light. Kent pokes his head into the office. Formation in 10? Yep, I say without looking up from my computer. Are you going to flog me and Vale today? He says with a wry grin. The three of us went through AIT together and have known each other for 4 years. They are like my brothers, so it makes sense I want to hold their heads underwater from time to time. I'm still deciding. He chuckles. I can't wait to see the look on Saint's face when you meet him. You are a sick and twisted man, Kemp. I really am. He smacks the door, smacks his hand on the doorframe and walks out, leaving me shaking my head. Tension weaves its way through my shoulders as I contemplate the next 2 weeks. This is my chance to show the command I am ready to lead the next deployment coming up in 6 weeks. There are two teams deploying to two separate locales, 4 canines per location, 2 canine leads. I want one of those spots. My anxiety must be palpable because Guar stands up, stretches, and rests her head in my lap. You ready to go show them who's boss? I rub her head, using my thumbs to trace around her eyes, which she loves. Oof. She half barks, half snorts her agreement. Let's do this. Walking out into the brisk February morning, I survey the dozen canine handlers and their dogs and the 40 support personnel who line up with us. I don't know why they don't have their formation, but I think it's because the captain hates mornings. Obviously, the badasses do their own thing. Sergeant Vale and Sergeant Kemp stand at parade rest with their dogs by their sides, facing the formation with more than enough space for me to take up center stage. I swear I can see Kemp's lips twitch as soon as I approach. I can't help it. My eyes go right to Santiago, who Vale put on the front end of the front row. His eyes widen, but to his credit, he keeps his composure. For the next 2 weeks, I will be in charge of the canine unit in Sergeant First Class Thoreau's absence. As usual, if you have any questions, you go to your team leads and then to me. Guar and I walk the line and I purposely start with Saint. No weakness. We have a new member joining us today. Most of you know Hades, who is back in commission with the new handler, Private First Class Santiago. I hope you treat the decorated war hero with as much love and respect as her last handler did. I wait for him to break rank and protocol, but to his credit, he locks eyes with me and nods. Yes, Sergeant LeVay, Hades and I are going to be lifelong friends. I nod. Good. Formation takes less than 10 minutes and then the support personnel break off for PT while the handlers return to the kennels to prep for a day of training. Guar and I are walking back to the office when I hear him running up behind me. Sergeant LeVay, I turn to catch Saint and Hades' approach while Kemp and Vale watch from a distance. Yes, Private, I arch my eyebrow and keep the smile off my face. I don't know who else is watching and I refuse to let anyone think there is anything between us to include the man standing in front of me. I want to apologize for last night. Like I said, I knew they were setting me up. They set both of us up, but don't worry, they'll get theirs today. He grins and quickly covers it by bowing his head. You said the next time I saw you, if I still wanted your number, I should ask. I open my mouth to stop him. Shaking his head, he glances at the ground. I'm not going to ask, even though I do still want it. I have to imagine being the only woman on the field this morning was hard, so I'm not going to make it harder by pursuing you. For now. For now? I won't always be a private first class, and I won't always be under your command. Someday, you and I will meet when the stars align, and then we'll pursue what's between us. There is nothing between us, Private Santiago. Not yet, ma'am. Narrowing my eyes, I lower my voice to a near hiss. As the newest and lowest ranking individual here, you are on kennel duty for the next month. Inform Sergeant Vale that he needs to demonstrate your new duties explicitly, and I will be there shortly. Yes, ma'am, he clicks his tongue and he and Hades take off at a run towards the kennels. Shaking my head, I roll my eyes and walk back into the office, already making a mental date with my vibrator for tonight. Jesus, he's going to be my greatest temptation to date. Kemp, you are in the bite suit. I flash at him a smile when he gives me a you gotta be kidding me look. Private Santiago, it's time for you to show us how well you and Hades work together. Vale and I stand on the sidelines evaluating Santiago, already full aware that Hades is a world-class military working dog. Her old handler separated 6 months ago, but Hades is too young to be retired and has at least 3 years left in service. Even though she's beautifully trained, not all dogs and handlers get along. I guess the B word is as charmed by the cocky 18-year-old as I am. Damn, why do you have to be so young and under my limited command? Guar whines, desperate to play, considering Kemp is her favorite chew toy. After running through a couple of drills and a half dozen recalls, I tell Santiago and Hades to stand by, and then quietly tell Guar to attack. Foss. Kemp turns in time to catch her as she takes him to the ground, using her full body weight and a leap not normally sanctioned in the field. Both Vale and I laugh as Kemp yells in the distance, wrestling on the ground with my dog. I wait until he yields before calling her off him, jogging up to get within speaking distance, but not close enough that he could swipe my legs out from underneath me. Not that he would while our dogs are in play. Oos! What the hell, Ave? He looks up at me from the ground. I stand over his head with my hands on my hip. That's what you get for the crap you pulled last night, Kemp. He chuckles. It was worth it. Captain Leader walks over to Vale and waves me over. He, like most soldiers, know better than to walk onto the field while the dogs are working. I jog over with Guar at my side. Sir, that was crazy. I don't know how you guys let your dogs take you down like that. Vale and I shrug. All in a day's work. What can we do for you? Deployment list came out. You and Vale will lead two teams, one in Bagram and one in Kandahar. I leave you to assemble your personnel. If you have any questions, I'll be in my office. Yes, sir. I tamp down my desire to jump up and down and shriek my excitement. Vale grins and elbows me playfully. Hot damn. Right? I glance over my shoulder. Now who is going to take Kemp with them? Vale laughs. I'll take the FNG if you take Kemp. Deep down, I'm disappointed, but I know if I want to keep my boss babe military bearing as well as keep my panties on like a good soldier, I need to be as far away from Private Santiago as possible. Deal. And that's where I'll stop.
Awesome.
Woohoo. Yeah. So
I just really wanted to read that part of her having her dog take Kemp down. That was my favorite part in the whole book.
So this is a prequel though to, or it's not a prequel, or it's like
it's a prologue. So the first couple chapters are literally there. So they have a 10-year secret on again, off again thing.
Ooh,
before gotcha. She gets out of the military and comes to her.
Gotcha. Or
comes to the BKC.
So you have a little bit of a time lapse in the middle of your book.
The beginning is 10 years in the past. And then at like the third of the way mark, it goes from present day forward.
Got it. And there was a quick question from Deanna. She wanted to know, do you write all of your books under the same pen name?
Yes. I have a secret pen name, but I did nothing with it. So it's like, there's two things out there and yeah. So I don't even acknowledge it.
Ooh. I like the giggle. Like
I did not know that.
Well,
fun. All right. So I'm going to skip back because we did have quite a few questions. And I think I'm going to probably skip some of them. I know we talked about what is the most difficult part of writing a book. What do you enjoy most?
Question. Both of you. There you go.
I don't know. I just like the worlds that I get to build and that I get to hang out in them for a while. So I just, you know. Like all authors, you know, I have the days where I think that I'm crap. And then there's days where I think I'm brilliant. And on the brilliant days, I'm like, I love these worlds and I love these people. And so.
I know that like sometimes on a day when it's maybe not coming as easy and everything. But then when you go back and read it, you're like, oh gosh, that's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that typically happens, because yeah, there's some days where it's just writing is harder than others.
I feel like I have that conversation with my editor every time I start handing her pages. I'm like, this is crap. I don't know where my brain is. I don't know why this isn't working. And then while she's reading it, I'm reading it again. And I'm like, this isn't that bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's some disconnect in between there.
Well, I think we're also our own worst critics, too.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy most, CJ?
That's a hard question. I enjoy telling the story. I think that is, that's the one thing that has kept me going. I wrote when I was in high school and in college. And then once I got out of college, it was like, I really need to, you know, do this career. And so I stopped writing. But when I started up again, it was being able to tell the story, being able to, it's going to sound crazy, but the characters are my friends. I see them as real people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very much real to me. They each have their own personalities. When I meet readers, that's why I love going to signings. And talking about these books or having a reader come up to me and saying, oh, I read this book and I loved it. And I'm asking them, well, tell me what you loved about it. You know, what did you really enjoy? So, yeah, I think telling the story. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me going is getting to do that. Yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah.
All right. Then Deanna asked, when you're not writing or researching, do you have a hobby? And if so, what?
Yeah, I have this horrible addiction to online shopping.
Yeah, that's a great hobby.
What are you buying? Are you buying books or something else?
I buy everything. I buy Coach purses. I have a closet full of Coach purses. My sister got me addicted to it. And I don't need any more purses. Really must stop buying purses. But I get on the website every once in a while and I'm just like looking. Photography is one of my huge hobbies. And I've done photography since I was in high school, which is a long time ago. And yeah, so if I couldn't be a writer, I would be a photographer.
Perfect. Now, very creative then, artistic.
If you say so.
Do you ever work that into your books?
Yes, the first book, Eagle's Destiny, lead male is a wildlife photographer.
Okay. Which I think is what you're giving away, right? Eagle's Destiny? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
How about you, Cameron? Any hobbies?
I ain't got time.
I saw her shake her head. I was like,
yeah, I don't have time.
She's like,
no. You collect flamingos?
Yeah.
No, not really.
It looked like it.
We were trying to give you an out here.
I'm pretty selective about them. No, I don't. No, my day is very regimented, not on purpose, just because I'm not exciting. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I would argue with that. I think you are very exciting. I always enjoy when we have our chats. Yeah. And I've met Cameron. We've retreated together. So yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, if anything, when I'm not writing, if I'm in essence, like virtually planning travel. So I'll have a lot of travel coming in the future. Snugglehore. I got his time. So yeah. His time I'm here. And then when he's not here, I'm gone. So yeah. So I fantasize about that a lot. Traveling.
Well, Dylan, we are pretty close to the end of the hour.
We're pushing on time. We should wrap up.
Yes. So, ladies, remind us again what you're giving away so our viewers can go over and enter to win your giveaways.
I'm giving away signed paperback or ebook, depending on, because some people just don't want a paperback of the first book, Eagle's Destiny, in the Destiny series. So yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, if you follow me on, I think it's BookBub, right? Follow me on BookBub, and yep, and that enters you for a gift card to my store.
Yeah. Awesome.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yes, we are over time. So we are going to say goodbye, and we will see you in 2 weeks, I think. I think now is actually 2 weeks instead of like three, because we had that like end of the week weirdness.
Yep. March 28th, we'll be back.
Yep. And we will see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Romance Happy Hour.
To find out who's coming on next or catch up on the video episodes, visit our website at romancehappyhour.com.
Don't forget, you can always join us live on the second and fourth Thursday of each month on the Romance Happy Hour Facebook page.
To connect with Dawn or me, check the show notes for our contact info.
We'll see you next time. Cheers!
Cheers!